This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. There's been a lot of controversy lately surrounding social media, from issues like mental, emotional, and even issues with privacy. So with social media being ingrained in our lives, you begin to wonder, is social media now a lifestyle? Joining me to talk about how social media is being used and its purpose is Social Change CEO, Stephen Bartlett. Thanks for joining me, Stephen.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to speak to you today.
All right. So before we get into social media, tell me about yourself. How did you get into social media? Because I hear you are a CEO of your own company.
So I was an 18-year-old university student, and I dropped out almost straight away with an idea to build, I guess, Craigslist for students, effectively an online student notice board. And after 3 years of trying to build that company and that website, raising investment, building a team, I was faced with the job of being a marketeer. And I tried traditional means of marketing. I tried flyers, I tried posters, newspapers. None of it worked. One day I found a Facebook page, and I posted about my website on that page. And it was the first time we had real good traffic. So I bought that page, and I spent all year buying, building big social communities. And eventually I realized that there was more power and there was more attention on these social communities than there was ever going to be on my website. So I tripled down on owning all the world's biggest social media communities across every niche, from students to food to gaming to dogs, cats, drinks, cakes, cupcakes, you name it. We have the biggest social channels in those niches. Yeah, and then that led to Social Chain, which I started when I was 21, which is a social-first marketing agency. It's now the biggest in Europe, and it's now expanded over here into the USA. And Media Chain, which is one of the world's fastest-growing media companies, essentially.
Now, from when you first started using social media and now, in terms of marketing, has it changed or has it just evolved?
It has changed quite considerably, and it's always changing. We kind of refer to it as this ever-changing landscape. We adapt accordingly as a company, and we remain unromantic as such. So,
social media was created to really kind of connect people, and mostly just their friends and family. And do you think that it's still living up to that same purpose?
Social media is what you make of it, right? So it's a tool at the end of the day, and you can use that tool positively, or you can use that tool negatively. And you create the information you see. You kind of curate it by choosing who you follow. So I do think social media, it can be a positive thing. For a younger generation that are less well-educated on how it should be used, often it tends to be quite a negative thing. And I do have a lot of concerns around the impacts on mental health and people's self-esteem and the impact that negative comparisons can have.
When it comes to social media, sometimes it feels as if the people that you friend aren't really your friends. Why is it that the connections tend to be so fickle?
The word friend has taken on a completely new meaning to what it meant pre-Facebook. Now a friend is someone you, at some point, decided to either contact or stay in touch with. Once upon a time, a friend was somebody that you had a strong sort of mutual connection with and resonated with on various levels. Social media allows you to follow as many people as you like across most channels. And you follow these people often for very superficial reasons. Often you follow them without any sort of desire other than getting that person to follow you back. So, you know, it really is a changing world. And as you say, relationships are now more fickle than ever.
I'm glad you talked about how a lot of people, they do kind of collect other accounts. I don't want to say they collect people. They're just collecting the accounts, almost like Pokemon. You got to catch them all, right? And it ends up being a follow for follow type of thing. Do you think that's hurting social media at this point?
In some respects, it's ruining individuals' own experience, because the whole point of following someone is you want to consume their content, you want to stay in touch, you want to see what they create. And if you're following them to try and increase your own following number, your experience on that platform is going to be pretty horrendous. And I think the platforms realize this. It's the same cycle with a maturing social network, where it starts by allowing you to see everybody's content that you follow. It gets to a point where I think the social channels realize that you've added too many people. You've added people for very sort of poor reasons, and therefore the content you're seeing is probably not going to be interesting to you. So they introduce these things called algorithms to help you kind of clear up the mess you made and to show you only the things that are of any value to yourself.
Do you think that social media can affect a person's moral compass? So if they're kind of left-leaning, suddenly they can go really left or they can go really right on a subject. Do you think that with social media, it can change a person's perspective on ideas and their own morals?
Of course, right? Social media has become your library in many respects. And every time you choose to follow somebody, you're adding a book to the library. And most of us probably don't realize the impact that those books and that information we're being fed every single day have on our worldview. If you follow everybody, you know, if you follow 100 conservatives or 100 Democrats, there's a good possibility that your own belief system and your own opinions will change accordingly. And that's why, you know, it's incredibly important to be very careful about what you're consuming every day. I try and consume information and follow people that will teach, inspire, and inform me, as opposed to following people that might be, say, let's say, negative or pessimistic. Because I really, really believe that the those that I follow in social media generally will almost subconsciously drive my worldview and what I think of myself. So I feel like we all have an obligation to make sure we're consuming the right things and following the right people.
I'm glad you talked about consuming certain information. There's only so much you can do, though, because, you know, a lot of times when something goes viral, you can't help but to watch it, you know, to consume it because, well, it went viral. How exactly does information or situations or people go viral?
It's a variety of things. It tends to be driven by emotion. So something that makes people feel deeply in any sort of emotion. So it could be fearful, it could be humor, it could be an awesomeness, it could be acuteness. It's basically, virality is driven by emotion. So if you're trying to make yourself go viral, you need to really figure out what emotion you're tapping into and resonance. And then I think playing into culture is a big part. So things that are happening in the world, if you can piggyback something that's happening in the world, whether it's Kim Jong-un or the World Cup, and you can piggyback it with emotion, you stand a really high chance of going viral. So yeah, I think culture and emotion are the two real key elements to making something go viral.
Now, when something goes viral, is it across all social media platforms, or is it only viral when mainstream media like, you know, Fox News or BBC, when they start reporting it? Is that when it's viral?
No, it's viral when it has a viral coefficient of plus one, which means when every person that sees it, it basically means every person that sees it is inviting at least one other person to see it. Things are very, very rarely fully viral. Sometimes they have a viral coefficient of 0.8, which means that if you show 100 people, 80 of them will then share it, and then, you know, 80% of them will share it, and 80% of them will share it. So, yeah, and then the platforms play a big role because they have this sort of decaying within the algorithm where over the space of about 3 days, it will stop showing people the content organically, and it will fall off the newsfeed. And then it's purely reliant on people sharing it, which again has an impact on the viral coefficient. It's quite a technical thing, I think.
Does viral videos change from country to country, or is it kind of like they kind of share it? The things that go viral in the US, do they go viral in the UK too?
Yeah, again, it's about culture and emotion. So there's cultural differences, obviously, to the US, there's different terminology, but it's the same science across the whole of the world, and social media is a very sort of global place, especially in a platform like Instagram, where Instagram doesn't really speak a language. It's all about visual. So
do you think social media has changed lifestyles for, you know, younger generations between maybe, you know, kids who are adolescents, 18-year-olds, 30-year-olds? Do you think that it's changed their life a little bit?
It's changed their life in so many different ways. It's allowed them to connect with their family on the other side of the world. It's ruined, you know, their probably interpersonal skills. It's made them think that they're worthless and inferior because Instagram and social media is really a lot of an echo chamber of fake realities. So it kind of makes your reality seem a little bit less valuable if you're constantly looking at false stories about how the world is. So it's had a huge amount of impact on young people. And I think the impacts are really going to be seen in the next couple of years as we get more data on the generation that we're connected from birth.
You say like it's almost like a drug. Do you think that people need to wean themselves off of social media as if it was a drug?
In some respects, I think there's a bit of sort of self-protection that needs to take place, and you need to do your best to limit your relationship or at least control the relationship you have with your phone as opposed to letting the phone control you. And this is one reason why I've turned off all notifications on my own phone, because I don't want my phone to tell me when to come to it. I want to come to my phone. And understanding the science of addiction and the science of tech addiction in particular, these sort of hooks are what keep us checking and give us these little kicks of dopamine like a syringe. So I'm trying to break those hooks that have been created by design that are keeping me glued and obsessed and anxious about my phone and notifications. So I do think there's an importance of self-protection, and I also think there's a responsibility for us to educate the next generation of smartphone and social media users on how to use social media in a safe way, because all things can be dangerous in excess, you know, if you overdo them.
Do you think that social media after, you know, because a lot of people are saying what you're saying, they're getting really sick of social media, they're getting sick of the internet in general, fake news, there's all these people accusing others, depression, anxiety. Do you think at some point in the future people are going to say, I don't want to be on the internet anymore?
Maybe. I thoroughly doubt it, because the internet makes so much of life much more easier and efficient, but who knows? I would say I doubt it.
And, you know, I'm just a little curious. I mean, you have your own marketing company that's kind of based actually in social media, and for you to sit there and kind of bash social media saying, hey man, you need to slow down on it, isn't that a bit counterintuitive to what you're trying to actually do?
Social media can be good in many, many respects, but as someone that understands the platform better than anybody, I think I also have a responsibility to be honest about the pitfalls. And people always say to me, how can you criticize something that you make money from? I think the people that make money from it should be the ones criticizing it. I think they're the ones that understand it best. And, you know, it'd be much easier for me to say that it's all perfect. And I would also probably be much more in my financial interest if it's all perfect. But at the end of the day, I care more about what's true, and I always have. So at least you know you can trust me.
For those listening, Stephen, where can they find more information about you?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and you've got to type in Steve Gartler. And I'm sure I'll pop up. If you've got any questions at all, then just let me know.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.